righty. Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much again for the opportunity to preach. I don't take it lightly. If you run with me really quick, we're going to go over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in your Bible. Chapter number 2. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. And if you can, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Starting out in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let us pray and we'll get right into the message tonight. Dear and Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we get to come here, Lord, and we get to just be part of your house and be in your house tonight. And just ask that your Spirit would meet with us, Father, and that you would just use this message tonight, Father, to help people just to keep going, keep pressing on for you. Thank you for everything you've done. Now just take us out of the picture and let your Holy Spirit work. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. We see in the book of 2 Timothy, this is the second letter that is written to Timothy from Paul. Paul mentions and calls him his son in the faith. And what he's teaching right now here in 2 Timothy is he's trying to help Timothy to keep going, to keep pressing on, if you will. And it says back in verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Right there, I went and I took the liberty of looking up endure, and I wanted to just read really quick, if I can pull it up. There's a couple similar words here, and a couple similar words for endure. Endure also, another similar word would be undergo, would be go through, live through, experience, meet, encounter, face, handle, suffer, tolerate, put up with, brave, bear, withstand, sustain, weather, make the best of, and accept, support, take, hack, stand for, and hold with, abide, or wear. There's a lot of different words. I just gave a couple that I was just thinking of as I was going through here, because Paul's telling him that he has to endure hardship, that he has to be ready, he has to be able to take it. And give me just a minute while I pull this up, because I want to make sure I say it exactly how I had it. All right, so. As we're looking here, and we see that he's telling him to endure, he's telling him to continue. I see that a lot of stuff that has been going around. You may have seen different things on internet. You may have heard of different things. People are starting to make a lot of memes now, and they're putting them on Facebook, and they're talking about a World War III, and they're talking about all these different things that are currently going on with politics and things that are happening over in the Middle East. But what I want to point out is we've already been picked for a fight. We've already been picked for a war. And that's not the war that we're hearing talked about right now. That's the war of seeing people saved, of getting people saved, getting them in church, right, having them continue. And I just, as I was looking here and I was really thinking, okay, what is Paul trying to do for Timothy? He's trying to help him to keep going. And as I was looking, he's talking that he's a soldier of Jesus Christ. He's saying, Timothy, you're a soldier. You're one that stands up. You're one that endures hardships. You're one that keeps on going. And I see that Paul's given us at least three takeaways that I'd like to take away from this, of ways that we can keep fighting in this war. The first one is we can stand through trials. Really quick, over in Daniel. Daniel chapter number 1. Okay. My Bible let me. And Over here in chapter number 1, it says, verse 11, then said Daniel to Meltzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." And number 13, "Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants." One thing I want to say is we can stand through the trials. Right here, Daniel, he is standing through the trial. He's talking to the person that's over him, and he's saying, "Hey, will you let me do what I believe God has told me to do?" And that's abstain from the meat. And he's saying, "Let me be separated. Let me be apart from your people, and let us eat what God has told us to eat." Mm-hmm. "And afterwards, go ahead and deal with us how the king sees fit. Go ahead and deal with us, and however it is that the king says, if, whether it be good or whether it be bad, go ahead and punish us based off that. But we want to do this because God has told us to do it." And if you look in 14, it says, "So he consented." Now that's very important. He consented. Right here, Meltzar, he was just who was commanded to take charge of the prince of the eunuchs. He was just the one that was commanded. So he wasn't someone that was the king. So he could easily, if they did not come out right, he could have lost his head. Yeah. He could have easily lost his position. He could have easily lost his family. He could have easily, because as they're over here, and it's King Nebuchadnezzar that went through the land. His famous phrase was always, "Hey, I'm gonna kill him, make their house a dunghill."
Mm-hmm.
And so he could have easily lost everything. But as we see here, Daniel stood up and he stood through this trial and said, "Hey, I understand you could lose your head, but we don't want to eat that because we know what God said. God's told us not to eat that.
Yeah.
So we're going to abstain from that. And afterwards, you can go ahead and deal with us." And 14, "So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. So he gave them 10 days. And afterwards, he comes back and he looks at them. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat." So Daniel stood through the trial. And because he stood through the trial, he was able to come out better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do.
Amen. All right, something else we need to do here, aside from stand through the trials, we need to separate ourselves from the world. Now, let's go back there and reread those verses here in Daniel chapter number 1. And it says, "Then said Daniel to Meltzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." I like that it's their Hebrew names there and not their Babylonian names. Excuse me. It says, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. 10 days ain't very much, church. Well, let's face facts. If things go wrong during 10 days, they're not that far behind. If things go well during those 10 days, they're not that far ahead of the others. It's a good even number there. But the number 10 also is a spiritual number for both the law and for testimony. And these boys here, because they have decided they are going to stand through their trials, because they decided they are going to separate themselves from the world here, they are going to be giving themselves a testimony by honoring God's law. It's a very simple law. The dietary law is what they're seeking here to honor, and God will turn out and honor them for their faithfulness. There is one little thing. But if they do that one little thing right, they get to advance to the next thing there. So, continuing on, it says here in verse number 13, "Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Ain't it something? How there was actually a point in time in our history where it was a good thing to be fat. Praise God. I would have worked out real good back then, I guess. But here it is, man. They're being honored. God is taking care of His people. They have decided, you know what, we are going to obey the dietary commands of our Lord. Pretty simple. You see, if you're going to take and raise children and want these children to be able to follow the Lord, to be able to know the right and wrong as God sees it, to learn Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you've got to separate them, not when they are teenagers, not when they're 20 years old, but when they're little ones like these two sitting right here. You got to start them off while they are young. Because the younger you are, the better you will learn your habits. You start off young and your habits are just to go ahead and do things the way that you want to. Guess what? You're going to grow up doing things the way that you want to. Now you've got to break those bad habits. And it's incredibly hard to break those bad habits. But if you start off young, you've got a much better chance of establishing good habits and being able to actually be separated. That's why if you will actually sit down and look, not so much at statistics, but just look at the overall population of the churches. How many Christians do you see who started off when they were just little tykes there and they got saved and now they've turned into the 70 and 80 year olds and they brought their families along with them? And then take and look at those adults who didn't treat Christ as important, who didn't treat church as important. They didn't quite separate their children and see how their children have turned out. And you're going to find that they've begun to diverge and they've begun to go and not be separated from the world, but to be part of the world there. You say, well, what's that got to do with this, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Run back there to verse number 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now let me just stay right there. That's three different groups mentioned here. The children of Israel. That's all of all Israelites. And he wants of the king's seed. So in other words, very specifically, royalty. And then he says of the princes. Now these are other leaders here in Israel. Three different groups. Want these people. I want them set aside here. Verse number 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. Remember, Daniel only wanted 10 days out of 3 years. That at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And as you come down here a little bit further, you find that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, these four boys here said, no, we were trained from the age of Josiah there on up in the Mosaic Law. We were trained to be able to follow the Lord God, and we have decided that we are going to be separated. You cannot expect your children to behave out in the world if they haven't been trained right in church. You can't. They could not expect these Jewish boys here to behave like Israelites living in Babylon. Because you know what? Like I said, there's three different groups there, but only four individuals decided, no, I'm going to be separated unto the Lord there. That means there's a whole bunch of people who decided they didn't need to train their children upright, and because they didn't train their children upright, now they got problems. Thank God for those individuals who will take and they will separate themselves so they can stand through the trials, so they can be on fire for the Lord there, and then end up submitting themselves to God.
To go along with that, of course, separating from the world, but there's a very big difference of separating. You can separate yourself from certain things. You can separate yourself from certain friends. You can separate yourself from certain co-workers that you know are gonna give you a bad attitude because you are being with them. But if you only separate from them and don't submit or don't replace, then what's going to happen is you're going to go straight back to that. Whether it be not going back to the same people, but you're going to go back to that same type of attitude. Yeah. You're going to go back to that same group of friends, the ones that acted like your old friends. You're just going to find new friends that act the same way. Because if you do not replace what you have separated from, then you are just going to fall into a trap. Over in James chapter 4, Verse number 7, the Bible says, and this is a thing that we should do. It's a command, the Bible says. It's not just, oh, if you like to. No, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. That's the second command. First one's submitting. Second one's resisting. And he will flee from you. And that is the action, because that is the reaction that happens because of the action that you took.
Right.
You took the action to submit to God, and you took the action to resist the devil. And now the reaction, because of your action that you took, he will flee from you. But, you know, let's not stop there. Let's go to verse 8. 8 says, draw nigh to God. So now it's telling you, yes, you should submit to God. But, you know, you should also draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you.
Yeah.
So if you get close to God, God's going to get close to you. That's what the Bible's saying. He's promising you that. That's not just, oh, well, I'll just put this down for now. No, because this Bible was written by holy men of old that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake and wrote down exactly what was spoken to them and what was told for them. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And it goes into a lot more, but I want to focus on that point of submit yourselves to God. Because as we can separate from the world and we can get out from the world, we can get the world away from us, but if we don't replace the world with God, if we don't replace the world with going to church, if we don't replace the world with going soul winning, if we don't replace it, then what's going to happen is we're going to fall back into that hole. And we're going to be stuck there. And there's nothing we can do about that. But if we submit to God, we won't. And he even further goes on after talking about what will happen when you submit to God and resisting the devil, and he'll flee from you. But he also says in verse number 8 is, he says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Meaning you've separated. You're away from the world. It's just you now. Now what God wants is for you to get close to him. If you don't know how to get close to him, one best way is going to church.
Yep.
Get to church, and that's one way you can get close to God. You want to get close to God? Go soul winning. Take a track. Take a church track. Walk up to somebody, some random person. Maybe it's someone at your work. Maybe you're just driving out and you're trying to think, how can I get close to God? Oh, hey, there's somebody outside. Pull over. Hand them a track. Don't grab them. You'll scare them. But pull over and hand them a track. Pull over and tell someone about the Lord. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, try to always make it in a point that you can tell someone about God.
Yep.
Because that is one way you can draw close to God. And what happens because of the action we take, the reaction that God does, is He draws nigh to us. He gets close to us because we have first taken that first step. It reminds me of the poem. I don't know it by heart, so I can't tell it to you. But it's about the footprints in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking, the poet writer, poem writer, is talking about how he's walking and there's two footsteps in the sand, and he's walking and talking with God, and there's two pairs of footsteps in the sand, and he sees them, and he's like, God, I don't understand this. While everything was good, I see both of our footprints.
Mm-hmm.
We're both walking. But then there's parts where I was just so distraught and I was so torn apart and I didn't know what to do. I had no idea how to take another step. And during those times when I needed you the most to be by me, I only see that one pair of footprints. And that's all I see. God, where were you? And God replies to him and says, well, during those hard times when you couldn't walk, I was the one that picked you up and walked.
Yep.
I'm the one that carried you through. I'm the one that did that. That's why there's only one footprint there. Because during that time, I was holding you. I was comforting you. I was carrying you through. And it reminds me of that, because if we want to keep fighting in this fight, because God's called us to be a soldier, He's called us to fight, then just remembering those three ways of standing during the trial, separating from the world, but also, don't forget that last one, submitting to God so that He can take care of you.
Amen. So what are we saying? What are we saying here this evening? Well, we know we've got a fight on our hands. We got saved. We didn't get drafted. We chose to get saved. But that just simply means we switch from being part of one army to the other. And if you want to actually survive, let alone actually get the victory, you're going to have to do some things to make it possible for yourself to be able to win. Now, we looked here, we saw that you had to stand through your trials. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego certainly were going to be facing those trials when they went into the furnace. Daniel certainly was facing the trials when he went before the king and says, hey, give us a chance to look and pray and see if we can figure out what the dream was, what the interpretation was. And then another king throws them in the lion's den and all that stuff there. They had to stand through these trials. But they were able to do it because they separated themselves from the world. They had separated themselves unto God. So they were prepared for when these things came. And they were able to separate because they were willing to submit to God. And that's a hard, hard thing to do. Because you look up that word submit. Is it used there in James? It means to yield and it means to obey. And that obey part is tough.
Right.
Let's face facts. It is tough because it means good old number one here ain't in charge.
Right.
Coach Bobby Knight said many years ago, everyone wants to win, but few are prepared to win. If we want to be prepared to win, we've got to follow these three steps right here. The only victory we're going to see is when we're looking at someone else getting the victory. Or we happen to fall into it, and it's one of these easy things like, oh, all I had to do was just open my eyes and I won. That's not victory, church. Peter tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, dedicate your heart so the Lord can be there. And be ready always to give an answer, a defense to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or behavior in Christ. It takes more than just being present in a church building. It takes discipline. It takes dedication. It takes hard work. It takes strength of conviction. Because if you ain't gonna sit down, knuckle down, and dig in and get to where God would have you to be, by, like Brother Tim said, by being in church, by studying your Bible, by praying, by reading your Bible. Yes, studying and reading are two different things. They're doing those Sunday school lessons. Spending time with the Lord instead of spending time with the things of this world. You're going to find yourself constantly in a state of defeat. We've been called to be victors. God said that we've got the Nikes. We have the victory over this world because He's already overcome this world. But it's up to us. We've been called up for the fight. Are we willing to get in? I've got just one question and a statement for you here in closing this evening. The question is simple. Are you prepared? My statement is this. If not, now would be the perfect time to get ready. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, once again for being so good to us, for loving us, for saving us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get to stand here and bring your word this evening and certainly challenging for us that we need to knuckle down. We here as Christians in the United States, we have got it so easy so often that we have forgotten all the blood that's been shed to get us this far. All the tears that have been wept over the different children and lost loved ones down through the centuries. People who have been in the fight their entire lives just to see at death's door someone finally who they've been praying for to get saved. We are truly blessed. And that's probably why our country has fallen apart so quickly, because we've just gotten lazy. We're not prepared. Help us, Father, please, to start to get prepared so that we can serve you better in this fight. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.